Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What are you drinking, Jacqueline?
I'm having a coffee. The hotel they put you up here in San Francisco doesn't have a coffee shop. They have a free coffee maker. But the hotel across the street has a coffee shop. And so I went to the coffee shop because I wanted iced. I wanted iced coffee.
Oh.
I enjoy a cold.
What? Okay, yeah. I haven't been to that hotel across the street.
Yeah.
I think there's a Pete's nearby, but you're still walking a little bit. If you just want to go across the street, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, across the street's the next best thing to not going anywhere. So, huge fan.
Which is the dream.
And, yes. So, hey, do you want to be sincere for a second and thank everybody for 2025 listening to the podcast? I'd love it if you said no.
You made your best effort. You tried, and people will appreciate that and continue to hate me.
Oh, my God. I have had several people come up to me. One, the other night, a guy came up and he said, I listen to the Jackie and Laurie show, and I'm on Laurie's side about jazz. You're wrong. This is the third person. I got two emails from people.
Wow. Well, you know what? Finally, you know what? It's been 10 years and they're finally coming around to seeing who's the real music fan in this duo.
Well, I have to say, what people don't understand is I don't know what jazz is. So I'm sure I like it. I just don't know anything about it. So just because I like marching band for sure doesn't mean I don't like jazz.
I think that's the entry into jazz's marching band. But you stopped at the front door. You didn't go into the house.
Hmm. It could happen. And I will say that Brian Swartz, who's Laura House's partner, who plays trumpet for Oingo Boingo, he was like, I could do a dark forest about jazz that will help if you'd like. And I was like, you could do a dark forest about jazz if you want. I don't know if it'll help.
The musician that was supposed to do New Year's Eve at the Kennedy Center canceled today or yesterday, and it's the jazz trio, the Billy Hart trio, I think. And so I just started listening to them and downloaded albums and stuff, and that's
very supportive.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal too. I know. I'm like, how can we pay for albums? It doesn't look like I'm paying when I'm downloading. I don't think I am. We asked people to download our stuff so we at least get some income. Although I don't remember ever getting a check from Apple saying, oh, you had X amount of downloads from iTunes. So I don't know how anyone's getting paid when they're recording things, but these guys are canceled a New Year's Eve gig, and those pay really fucking well because of the name change. And so the least we could do, even if you aren't a jazz lover, is give them a shot. But if you are, it's the Billy Hart Trio, and they were good enough to get booked at the former Kennedy Center, so they were great. And I was just listening, and I really liked them. And so now I'm putting them on rotation with the B-52s. So get ready.
Did you see that a comic bought the URL Trump Kennedy Center?
Yeah, I think he's a South Park writer, or he was a South Park writer. Yes.
Yeah. And then he got thanked by one of the Kennedys, and he was like, oh, this is the best. He was very excited.
I think he was threatened by the Trump administration too. Of course they're going to threaten to sue him. They love to do that. His name, I think the guy's name is Toby Morton. But, okay. Every once in a while, there's like a male, there's another guy named Vic, I'm blanking on his last name, but they're really good at taking a stick and just poking a bear really hard, getting sued, which sucks, you know, but I fucking love that. I love people like that.
You do. Yeah, you do. You really do. You love a button pusher. And I don't know, because you're not really a button pusher. Let's talk about you for a second. You're not really a button pusher, but you can push a button, but you'll do it. It's more of a drive-by. And so So I think you admire somebody who's willing to just stand there and go, yes, I'm pushing you with all of my.
Yes. You're and just willing like, to get.
Right.
Yeah. Once you get served documents, it's like, oh, this is going to cost me money. And that, and no comedy writer has enough money to pay for that shit. So, I don't know, check out his threads and Twitter. And if he's asking for money for a GoFundMe, if you can swing it. I mean, we need people like this to be those kind of, annoying little flies that buzz around in, oligarchs' faces and irritate them, you know?
Right. Right. It's, I have to say that I just donated to this news source, and I thought it was, I don't know what I thought it was, but I didn't know it was German. So it's all in German.
Der Spiegel? You didn't know Der Spiegel was German?
It's called like Cursed News or something. C-U-S-T. Cussed.
Say that again. The sound, I don't know if it's just you, and I don't know if this is how it's going to be recorded, but it is doing that boingy thing a little bit.
It's a little crackling rose over here too. So it was, I think it's C-U-S-T. Cussed.
Okay.
Or cursed.
Oh.
Yeah. And, but I gave them some money because they were the ones that broke what they've done is they've compiled a list of ICE, known ICE agents.
Wow. Okay.
And they have been served with papers to be sued. And so I was like, well, allow me to give you some money to defray. But if they are in Germany, sue away.
Yeah.
Right.
Who gives a fuck? Unless their government says, look, we have to deal with this monster, so knock it off. I mean, that could happen too.
Well, you know, I've been saying for the last 5 years that, probably 10, I guess, is that his whole plan is to leave NATO. And NATO is just like, you have to, because once the U.S. leaves NATO, or Europe has to enforce it, right? They have to remove our troops. They have to, which means war. It just means war. So,
well, even worse, it means no USO gigs for us. Let's look at the big picture, Jackie.
I wish I got a USO gig. That's the good money. I got the Armed Forces Entertainment.
Yes, I know. Department of, oh my God. Yes. Oh, and now it's Department of War. No, he also wants the EU to break up. That's he and Putin want the EU to break up. Putin doesn't want a united EU. And so,
hasn't since the creation of the EU.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Mm. So really, it's weird. I'm thinking about 2028. And of course, Gavin Newsom is a front runner because of his personality. And but honestly, and I don't know enough about him to really, I'm not endorsing. I'm just saying like somebody like Mark Kelly, who not only does he look like Eisenhower, he's, you know, got a military background. He was an astronaut and his whole thing is national security. And he's one of the guys that's telling troops, you don't have to carry out laws that are unlawful if you don't want to. And he's being, you know, hunted by Pete Hegseth now for doing that. And he, you know, we might have to be, as a country go, what's the most important thing is national security, global security. And I don't know if that's going to get enough people to be interested in his candidacy. I don't know how he is on all the other issues. If he's very centrist. I know his wife was, you know, centrist, Gabby Giffords before she was nearly assassinated. But,
is Mark Kelly Gabby Giffords' husband?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Guess who hasn't clicked that. All right. Thank you very much. You know, but I'm playing the part in this podcast of someone who's like, oh, let's get all the backstory because Lori's got it. So congratulations, folks.
She was like a blue dog Democrat. You know, blue dogs are like, they love guns, but not AR-15s, mm-hmm. but they live in gun country. And so she was from Tucson, which is very gunny, but she was you know, their rep. And he wasn't in politics
at all.
And
then she was shot in the head.
Yes. Shot in the head. He was the hot astronaut husband. And then he, mm-hmm. because of that, was sort of, because she can't serve because of the damage that the bullet did to her head.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, well, just to circle back, it feels like. that sort of security about just Earth security. Just we don't want a World War III with Russia. That might be something to look at Mark Kelly for. That's all.
Right. Right. Back to jazz lovers. I have this to say is that the new carousel joke, the new stills with the joke written out.
Right.
That Jasmine Ellis was telling us about.
It's very
popular.
And
now I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
I had been seeing it, but then she mentioned it and I was like, oh, she's right. It is ubiquitous. It is absolutely every platform. It's just easier than posting a clip, I guess.
It is.
But and as a person who writes a 4-minute joke, it's not ideal.
Oh no. You're gonna have like you're gonna have like 20 swipes on your jokes.
Right. Tag.
I mean, yes, somebody tweeted, I feel sorry for all these comics that invested in 4K cameras and now people are just reading jokes.
Oh, that's very funny. A friend of mine posted this thing about Erica Kirk. He said, my buddy John Kovalik, he said, she's not in mourning, she's in heat. And I was like, Jesus. That is dark.
My God, that's great.
And kind of perfect. Because, I mean, I remember 32?
Yes.
30.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Yes.
Jackie's dancing for you people that are just listening. She's dancing at the thought of being 32 again. Oh, we need to remember this.
It was a good year.
The next time something happens, to a right winger and all of a sudden people are getting fired within 2 days for even making a joke about it. We need to remember how quickly this shit turns now into, I can't log on without seeing a joke about Erica Kirk and Charlie Kirk jokes, within 2 weeks were like, no big deal. And just keep that in mind when you're in that horrible 3-day waiting. It's like almost like a gun waiting period, but it's a waiting period. You're in that 3-day period where you're going to get fired from your job. If you can hang out 3 days and then post your job, no big deal. Just ask yourself, what kind of trouble do I want to get in? And it will go away.
Right. And you're like, well, I got to strike while the iron is hot. And you're like, if it's funny now, it'll be funny in 3 days or it'll be hacky in 3 days. And you wouldn't have wanted to tell it anyway. So
that's right.
Just work on it for a couple of days and you'll be fine.
Workshop it. I know.
Workshop it. You know. So you're in New York. I'm in San Francisco.
Yep.
How has your sets been going? How the shows?
Well, you know, very fun. I'm at the Stand on the Broadway all week and they filled me up pretty good. So I didn't try to get anything else. I have 6 at the Stand on New Year's Eve, and they have 2 rooms, and so it's just upstairs and then downstairs, upstairs, downstairs all night. And I get, you know, I don't have to get in a cab, so I'm just staying at the Stand the whole night. Pretty excited about that, and I get to work with a bunch of friends I, you know, don't get to see that much, so I'm happy.
Oh, that's cool.
I've been doing the Broadway is, here's the thing. The crowds this week are potentially horrible because they're not comedy fans whatsoever. They are people who went to New York City for the holidays. And so they're like cows that are being herded into various venues. They don't like jazz. They're seeing jazz. They don't know what comedy is or comedy, right? And so they're extremely hit or miss. So it's been like 2 nights ago, I'm at the Broadway and I hear snoring, right? So I'm not kidding. This guy snored for 10 minutes straight during my set. And it was, the whole set became about this guy. I even got the crowd to start clapping and stomping their feet to try to wake him up. So we did that for like 15 seconds and then we stopped and then you hear,
oh, buddy.
Oh, my God. He was so drunk and passed out. And then the security finally poked him like with a chair or something. It was like, you got to wake up. I don't care if you sleep, but you can't be snoring during my comedic pauses. Okay.
Don't bring your CPAP machine. That would be very disappointing.
It's what it sounded like. So, that was kooky. I don't know. There's just a lot going on, but it's fun. And also it's, because I don't feel like doing any new stuff especially on holiday crowds. Right. I'm so sick of everything I'm saying that I'm also writing a lot because I know I'm doing my show on January 10th, my 4 p.m. new shit show at the Elysian Vault. And so I'm like, oh, I have a place to put all this. So now I've been writing these longer things that might not work, or it might be just incredible rabbit holes, and seeing if they can be turned into something. So in one way, the pressure of really having to do, especially like tomorrow night at the Stand, I will have to do the same set every show or else I'll forget what I did. You know what I mean?
Like,
I
have to come up with that. Yeah. Oh.
That's making the other part of my brain go, I got to say something else, please God. So, so I've been writing all that down. And, that's that.
Yeah. I have to say the first time I did the Stand after we started this podcast and he gave me all of those up and downs.
Yeah.
And they're all 15s. And I usually prior to us doing this podcast, I would go to New York. I might get one or two sets at a club. Uh-huh. And then I'd do the rest of it. I would just blow all of the money taking cabs or subways to Queens and Brooklyn and do Altie shows, right? And so the first time I did the Stand up and down for an entire weekend, my brain was fried because I couldn't even remember which. I was like, don't change it. Don't just do the 15 that you're doing. Yeah. And but it did fry my brain a little bit. So I admire the fact that you can even remember which, because you have done the jokes before. So when you say them, you're like, didn't I just do this? You're like, you did, but not to this 120 people. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Remember the lady sitting in this chair, the previous show was wearing a red dress. This is blue dress lady. Yeah, you have to.
That is perfect, actually. I will say that, I did the Brookfield Improv this last, the Milwaukee Improv. It's in Brookfield. Yeah. And they're talking to me about maybe bringing me back every Christmas.
Oh, that's so cool.
It would. Yeah. Because Pete Lee does every Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And when I say they're talking about doing it every Christmas, they're talking about next Christmas. So no, nobody's made any kind of commitment. But Pete gets to do it every Thanksgiving. So it'd be kind of cool to have because it would be an edge into the improv system. And but that staff is incredibly nice. They're just, it's such a Wisconsin moment. And a bunch of people my sister went to high school with came to one show, or a couple people, and then a couple people from my high school came a different. I was like, plus I'm back at my high school, the Performing Arts Center. I'm doing a show with Tammy Pescatelli at my high school.
Crazy. And
it's women of a certain age. It's that brand. Remember?
Yeah.
You remember that woman? She's great.
Carol. Yeah. Carol Montgomery. Yeah.
That's it. And so she's got me. And so I think I'm only doing 20, but Brookfield is not the most, let's say it's not the most progressive part of the Milwaukee. It's just far enough outside of Milwaukee for them to have been educated with the flat side of a shovel. They're kind of richy rich Whitey Magoos. Uh-huh. And I did two shows on Friday. Oh, wait, two shows on Saturday, one show on Sunday. And the Sunday was the most fun.
Yeah.
The first show Friday was fun. second show Friday, and they were quiet every single show, by the way.
These aren't good crowds, Jackie. I'm telling you, it's global.
It's global because it's this in between time, and you gotta wrestle. And I'm starting with this whole new thing about Germany.
Wisconsin, by the way, notoriously settled by Germans. So you really are
Germans, Poles. Yes. There's Germans, Poles, and Irish. It's
Luxembourg.
And you're whitey magoos and Armenians, yeah. And and Greeks, yes. And it was a little bit of a wrestling match with me because the room is kind of a little too well lit, so I can see everyone who's kind of glaring at me, mm-hmm. And not psyched to see the glaring. But I just recorded the album and the thing 2 months ago. So essentially I've passed the test. I've forgotten all the questions. I don't remember all the punchlines for all the jokes that I don't want to do them anymore. Have to, because I have an hour to fill.
right.
But every show I did work on the new 5-minute chunk about my siblings, and every show I lost something and gained something. Fantastic.
Okay.
And luckily I did record all of it. So, let's find out if I listened. Let's see if I listened.
I know. You know what? When Jessica Kirsten did, Marin, when she did WTF, she mentioned that the newer iPhones 12 and up, the voice memo app comes with automatic transcription if you want it. Now, I've been rocking an iPhone 8 for a long time. I don't like buying new shit because it angers me that this thing works. Why are you making me buy a new one? You know, this planned obsolescence drives me insane. Same with my Toyota, okay? I like my little 09 Toyota. It works great, okay? So I did order on eBay a 12, and so that's not even remotely the latest model at all. But apparently,
no, I think it's a 16 at this point. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I do have I do subscribe to a service, Cockatoo, which I use every once in a while for longer sets, which maybe I can cancel now. But you know, just even the fact that you could do a set and then while you sit on the train, just read it. That's life changing for me, as opposed to, I have to share it to Cockatoo, push, you know, have them do all that and then remember to read it. It's going to take too long and I won't get around to it. But if it could be automatic like that, like almost right after the set, just transcribe it. Now I do ask myself, is AI going to take that and teach itself how to do mediocre comedy off my new material? I don't know.
Yeah. Why don't you learn how to do a brand new joke and then not ever fix it, AI? Because that's what we do. We fix it. And yes. I'm not seeing any transcription. Wait a minute. Oh, there. Look at that.
Voice memo. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a 15.
So you do not have to do it.
That's because what I usually do is I usually upload it into Riverside, this program.
Yeah.
And then generate a transcript and then put it into Word and clean it up. But
most
this
of the
thing,
time,
I could just
too much
I could just read it.
You just want to move on to
yeah,
the set. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. That's, yeah.
Yep. I saw a play on Sunday. Oh. I went to see Waiting for Godot. And I'm not the audience for absurdist theater. Now, I suspected that. And then it was confirmed during the play. It made me mad at men because I was like, this is something a man wrote. All the actors are men. It's men whose wives are washing their clothes right now so they can go, what's absurd? There's hardly any women doing absurdist shit because we are much more grounded in reality. I could write a thesis paper on this and get a PhD, I believe. But anyway, within that, my resentment, of this play. The performances were great. Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter were hilarious, really funny. Keanu Reeves is older than us. He is so nimble and he's super skinny. I was staring at his body trying to figure it out because he's not weak skinny. I think he's yoga body skinny, which means he can probably hold like a standing bow for an hour. And he was, they had to perform in a cylinder. It looked like you were inside a missile where the head cut off.
Yeah, yeah, like a cornucopia. I saw the...
Oh, yeah, like there you go.
Yeah.
So some of the times they were standing on the sides. So they were, you know, their knees had to be bent and they had to hold that for a while during, especially during another actor's long sort of monologue, a long scene.
Wow.
And I was like, that's really impressive for that age. And they have to do it twice on Sundays. So it was really good. And then I posted about it.
Very well done. Yes. I saw the pictures.
I posted on it on Instagram. And one of the other actors, not Keanu or Alex, this guy, Michael Patrick Stanley, I think, chimed in. Like he saw it. And he's like, thanks or whatever. And he goes like, yeah, Keanu's legs are great. I was like, oh my God, you're that guy.
You're that guy. Right. It's so interesting because we forget that we're actually in the show business industry as well.
I know.
And so people might actually follow us or know who. Here's what I have to say is I enjoy the term only men get to write absurdist because I think you're right. Because the people always talk about how women are more mature.
Right.
Than men, like young women, girls.
Yeah.
Girls mature faster than boys. It's because we are judged immediately. Right?
Yes.
And it is you're screwed. You're just like, oh well, I guess I should go. It's sort of, you know, I made this realization, which was it's comparable but very different, which is that Black kids don't get to be kids very long.
Right.
Because they have to live so defensively around police and teachers and authority. And, you know, there isn't a 13-year-old boy who gets to be a jackass 13-year-old boy, which, of course, makes everybody psyched that nobody, you know, but white boys do. They get to be little shits. But a young Black kid doesn't get to do that. And I remember when I learned that, I was like, oh, why must I always be learning?
Yeah, right.
it's exhausting.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
but it's true about women too. Yeah,
Sarah Sherman, of course, very absurdist. I don't know about Sarah. I always think the women doing absurdist comedy are gay because they are not looped into this "how do I please men" thing that we are from the moment we start reading fairy tales, right? So maybe they're freed from that, and that gives really it's straight women who are like. Now this is an incredible generalization, but I'm just saying.
If
you're not worried about looking pretty for men, how fucking great is your life? All right.
Right. Because this is from looking from the outside where you're just like, because I'm sure there's a lot of judgmental women who are like, I'm going to need someone to be prettier. But
Of course.
But it is lesbianism feels more personality driven. Is that something?
Yes. Yes. I agree.
I don't
know. Could
be wrong. Easily could be wrong. How could I know?
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a break because as long as we're going into...
As long as we're alienating all gay people?
Yes! Yes.
Good evening. Thanks for tuning in to 101.1 Max Fun. It's midnight here on Host to Coast and we've got Sarah from Michigan on line one.
Hi, I'm calling in for some help. I used to love reading, but between grad school, having kids, and the general state of the world, I can't seem to pick up a book and stick with it anymore.
Sarah, this is an easy one. Just listen to Reading Glasses, a podcast designed to help you read better. Bria and Mallory will get all the pressure, shame, and guilt out of your reading life. You'll be finishing books you love in no time.
Great. That sounds amazing. Also, I do think my husband is cheating on me with Mothman. Can you help me with that one?
Ooh, I don't think they cover that. Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
When I found out I was pregnant, I didn't know what to do until I heard about abortion pills by mail, a medically safe way to end a pregnancy. Learn more at plancpills.org. That's plancpills.org.
And now we're back. And let me tell you that our comic of the week happens to be a woman, you guys. Not again. She came up on my feed, and she's from San Francisco. So, Her name is Annette Mullaney, M-U-L-L-A-N-E-Y. And she does stand up in both English and Arabic, Annette Mullaney. And she lived in Syria for 3 years, but I was watching her clips and I was like, holy shit. Like, it's political, but it's also silly. And like the different, like, it's not all political and it's not all, hey, I'm Arab. But her handle is Ho Grammer, Ho_Grammer, Grammer. By the way, Kyle's not here to say those words to you. We're doing this. Yeah.
Grammar is spelled E-R, so it has nothing to do with grammar, right? She's not a grammar hoe. Grammar must
be something. She's not a grammar hoe. Grammar, man, it must be something else. G-R-A-M-M-E-R dot A-R. Yes, it was... Andy was talking about conjugal rights. He was like, I will fuck you. I will fuck you. It was like he conjugated the word fuck. Anyway, and then he talked about conjugal. Is there crime going on behind you, Lori?
There is, but I missed the last thing you said. I don't know if our listeners are hearing. I hope they're not hearing this the way we're hearing it, but it's really boingy. But we're both on the road. I'm using an iPad. You're probably using, I don't know what the fuck you're using.
We don't have AirPods. Yeah, we don't have the right setup. So hopefully it's not too echoey. But I know that it records locally, so Kyle should be able to make it nice. The joke, it was a conjugation, a sex joke, and Andy made it the other day, and it made me laugh. So moving on, I will say this. All of January, I am home.
Nice. Exciting.
Right. So like Saturday the 3rd, I'm just going to rattle this off. I'm doing flappers. And then I'm willing to accept sets any other night, by the way. Locals, know in your hearts, because I have to write a new hour. It's very, very compelling to me that I work on the next things that I want to talk about. So I'm doing the Crow on Thursday the 8th. I'm doing the Elks Lodge in Van Nuys on the 9th. I'm doing a backyard gig on Saturday the 10th. I'm doing a Highland Park gig on the 13th. And then I'm doing Jonah Ray's new, I think, Highland Park as well on the 20th. And then I'm doing Jetpack on the 23rd. And they'll all probably just be on Facebook and Instagram and maybe Blue Sky or Threads. And, but I'm psyched about being home for January.
Yeah. I mean, you will, hate it about, I'd say January 15th, 16th, but right now it looks pretty good.
Right now it looks really exciting.
I will be just posting local spots. I'm at the Crow the 10th and the 17th, but if you want to see me, please come to the vault 4 p.m. on Saturday the 10th. I mean, we'll be done at 5. I'm making Toll House cookies. They're free. It will be a nice, cozy afternoon of cookies and comedy.
Jackie, can I pick up a set? I have a nighttime set that night. Who's opening
you
for
cannot.
You? Anybody?
No one. I'm going in. It's my hour. That's it. I apologize. I have no openers. I have no guests. It's just me.
What I like is the commitment. No. So, that made me laugh.
Well, listen, do you remember last weekend when I was in Chicago and my 8 o'clock show was ruined by a Bears-Packers game that the Bears at least won? Well, last night they fucking lost. So there you go. Ruined my show for nothing because you're out of the playoffs, you fucks.
Right. Is that, this is unforeseen. I did not know you were a Bears fan.
I'm not a Bears fan. I'm saying I had an 8 p.m. show in Chicago and the Bears played at 7:20 p.m. I mentioned this on the podcast. You must have not been paying attention.
No, I remember the game. Okay. I just didn't know that you cared who won.
I don't care who won. I heard in a green room that they lost. And I was like, well, why did you ruin my show if you're going to lose the next game?
You better every have game the Super is a, Bowl. It was a crapshoot. You can't tell who's going to win. And you ever see that movie, Any Given Sunday? You
don't know, like that movie. Any Given Sunday. Oh, my God. Yes.
I love the costumes that the NFL wouldn't let them use the real logos and stuff. So costuming got to make up a dozen football jerseys. Like, so it was gorgeous. Yeah.
I remember, I think I had that on VHS. I don't know how I had this. Okay, so I remember playing that on a loop while I was doing a writing packet. And I think it might have been Tough Crowd, but it was one of my early writing packets. And I just had it on in the background all the time. I would just play it and then replay it and just look up every once in a while and watch a scene I liked and then go back to it. Very soothing during a writing packet when I was like writing for like, I don't know. During my Tough Crowd writing packet, I was writing 6 or 7 hours every day, reading and writing, reading through newspapers and getting stories and trying to come up with topical ideas and stuff like that. And that was a crazy week. I think I told you this, but I was at the Selka, which was this Ukrainian restaurant, which I think is now closed. And in Manhattan, I was writing. I had all these notebooks out and newspapers, and someone drew a picture of me and gave it to me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I vaguely remember. But so the writing packet, because you wrote for Tough Crowd, what, 92? 94?
No! 92? 2002? 2003,
2002. I'm off by a decade. What do I care? My God. I'm 100 years old. Leave me alone. And so, so 2002. Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I don't know why I think Tough Crowd is a 90s show, but it isn't.
No. It came up after the Iraq, after we invaded, right around when we were invading Iraq, because I remember that was a topic for a while. During the show. And of course, a lot of dummies into it.
Right. And what was the Bill Maher Comedy Central show? Politically Incorrect?
Politically Correct, yeah.
And was that 90s or was that early 2000s?
That was
90s.
Remember, it was on Comedy Central, moved to ABC, where it had the spot Kimmel has now. And then he did a 9/11. He talked about the pilots being brave, the 9/11 pilots being brave, and then ABC canceled it. And then they Kimmel in
no
later.
No 3-day waiting period. He didn't wait his 3 days.
Wait 3 days, guys.
I went up. I think I've already told you this. I went up 9/11 and did a set.
Oh, you did?
The night of 9/11. Yeah. Over at, it was a coffee shop over by Aroma on Tujunga, and it's not there anymore. Tujunga and Riverside or Moore Park, Riverside, I think. And then, but a week later, like the stand-up shows were amazing in LA that week. My favorite thing that was said on 9/11 was by my friend Jim Wooster. We were all just sitting watching the news together on our televisions that were not flat screen. They were big ones. They had the thing in the back. Anyway, so we're watching the news. And all of a sudden on the news, it talks about how Disney went into lockdown and all the different studios went into lockdown. And Jim Wooster goes, LA, nobody cares about you. What are you doing? And the following a week from 9/11, the first Friday, I did Lulu's Beehive, which was a coffee shop late night show. Did you ever do that one?
No, I heard about it though. And I resented the fact that I had, but I know.
Right. It was a great crowd always. And, but it was run by this guy, Steve, and then Andrew Solomson ran it for a while. And so I went up and I followed Blanka Patch. And Blanka Patch is a machine of one liners. I mean, that guy. I went up and the only laugh I got was the fact that, because everybody had gotten up and done something relatively sincere or had tried to do something. They'd either tried to be sincere or they tried to be too flippant.
Yeah.
And it was just hard. And so I, of course, shocking no one, when sincere. And then, but the throwaway line after that was that at least it wasn't an email, because we had all received at least 60 emails from people going, it was so, you know, it changed our lives, you know, and it was, and they were these sincere emails. And so, this was finite. It was just me saying that I liked how we all came together.
We did not. I was in New York and I slept through 9/11. Right. I was living on 95th and Amsterdam with Gennady, my Russian, my Ukrainian boyfriend. He just defaulted to Russian because he didn't want to explain Ukraine because no one had heard of it at that point.
Right.
A lot of the Russian community in Coney Island was Ukrainian, actually, but just because Russian was sort of like an Uber umbrella adjective, right? They were Soviets, basically. So, but we slept in, and then I woke up and was like, oh, this is not good. And then, of course, that night was just watching the news. There was the hope that there were survivors. So, and that's when all the pictures started going up all over New York City, missing, have you seen this? And then within like 2 days, you saw every picture, you're like, oh, that person is dead. But it, for like maybe a day, people thought maybe they're trapped in a hole, like a little, you know, like those, there was an earthquake, the Loma Prieta earthquake, there was like a hole where the 880 freeway collapsed on top of itself. And a guy survived inside this air hole for a couple days.
Air pocket. Yeah.
Yes. And so there was maybe the hope, you know, that happens every once in a while when there's a building collapse, that this happened here. There's someone hiding. There's someone who has amnesia. They're wandering around the city. That didn't happen either. Like every person that was on a flyer died, right? But it took a couple days to comprehend that. But then I think we had a show the next night in a hostel because there were so many Europeans trapped here. Any foreigner was trapped here. And there was this hostel had a ton of like Europeans up, I think like maybe in the 116s or something. And I remember just Jim Norton went up in front of me and he didn't mention it. He just did dick jokes. So I was like, all right, we're just doing jokes.
Right. Yeah. It's you got to make a call. You're like, am I going to address it or not? And if you are going to address anything, you know, it's like the current political situation. If you're going to address it, you either have to have a real strong angle or don't, you know, it'd be great if you had a punchline, but at the very least an angle.
Such a horrible shock that it's almost people just wanted to not think about it for like an hour because you were thinking about it all the time. So just to have comedians go up and do regular dumb material was, I think, probably the best call, you know, because you need a little time to react to what's happening. And if you're still in it, like you're still in the attack phase on day two of something like 9/11, you're not at the joke phase yet, you know, I think.
I saw that Marcela Arguello posted this thing because somebody said, why don't you have more Trump jokes? And she's like, don't you want an hour where you don't even fucking think of that guy? Leave me alone.
Yes. Seriously.
So what the hell, you know? So, So I don't know.
Carol, what I was going to say, Carol Montgomery, she posted something on Threads about, she's like, I'm really depressed because I'm 67. I wanted to plan my retirement. And instead I've got this fucking guy ruining the last 10 years of my life. And the replies from women in their 60s going, yes, I know, were like really interesting. Like that is definitely a vein of fury of people
the older.
Going to be winding down but this person has destroyed everything that I grew up with, right? That we grew up with. He really has. And he's destroying the country we grew up with. And our kids don't know a lot of things he destroyed. They're not going to know how okay things were before they got so shitty, you know? I don't know.
Right. It's interesting because I have seen, you know, I follow a couple of Instagram accounts that essentially One of them, I was telling the woman who featured for me, very funny, Chastity Washington, future comic of the week, maybe. Stay tuned. Anyway, I was telling her that, because we were talking about Christmas and stuff, and I said that I followed this Instagram account that essentially ruins historical white things, right? This African, it's called African Archives, I think. It's just like,
oh, and it
just
goes. One. I think I follow that one. Yeah.
You're just like, and I can hear it. I can be taught. And please. And she was like, what did they ruin recently? I said, Jingle Bells. Which is okay, because I never liked Jingle Bells, but it's like everything from our childhood that we thought was amazing. And it was a pretty, and in the world of things, it's not perfect being a woman, but it is better. You know, I mean, you get, and you get the invisible advantages of not being judged and arrested immediately, right? That kind of, those kind of things. And
being a white woman.
Being a white woman. And so, but it is amazing how the Heritage Foundation and Trump and Stephen Miller and all those shitwits in 11 months, 12 months have essentially dismantled the government. Something like 60,000 black women have been fired from the U.S. government.
Right.
So that and it's just essentially, no, we're putting you back in the starting line. That's it.
Yes.
You know, you're just like, there was too much generational success and people, you know, we gotta move you back. And
it's horrifying.
It's pretty brutal. But what I do have to remember is that we keep going, right? And we rebuild, and maybe this time when we rebuild, the next kind of US American experiment, we build it from a place of more inclusivity.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. I mean,
it's the best case scenario, right?
Yeah. I mean, if my fear is we're not going to rebuild, that we're going to go, let's just go back to the way things were. What we really need is a new constitution. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. The fact that we don't even have an equal rights amendment, that women are not considered equal under the law, that's ridiculous. And it's because certain states have way too much power. There's no fucking reason Wyoming should have the same power in the Senate as California or New York or Florida or Texas, who have high populations. Sorry.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Right. I get it. Yeah. I think that if it doesn't happen this time, it'll happen. It's only been 250 years. It's kind of a very young country, you know?
Right.
And so I will say this. I was talking to a couple of friends of mine who have kids, and they're both in the UK. And we were just, and she said, you know, my sons, who are both like 13 and 15, they had a friend of theirs over. She said, I have three teenage boys in the next room with a lot of energy, a lot of teen boy energy. And the other one went, well, I got tweens. And the tweens, it's very exhausting to be around all of this energy. And I said, I'm surrounded by Americans. And they both went, you win. Because it's so, hey, we should take another break really quick, if that's all right.
Okay.
Hey, do you have a favorite episode of Star Trek?
If you do, you should also have a favorite Star Trek podcast.
Greatest Trek is about all the new streaming Star Trek shows, and it's a great companion to The Greatest Generation, our hit show about back catalog Star Trek that you grew up with.
It's a comedy podcast by two folks who used to be video producers, so it's a serious mix of comedy and insight that fits right into the Maximum Fun network of shows.
And Greatest Trek is one of the most popular Star Trek podcasts in the world.
So if you're following Lower Decks, Prodigy, or Strange New Worlds, come hang out with us every Friday as we roast and review our favorite Star Trek shows.
It's on MaximumFun.org, YouTube, or your podcatching app.
We're back. New Year's.
Well,
here it is. I think it's New Year's Eve when this goes up.
Correct. I don't even know what day it is anymore. I love these. The week between Christmas and New Year's, it's every day is Sunday or Monday. I don't know. And I don't care. I do love it.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of movies. So I've watched One Battle like six times, you know, because there's so much to ingest. It's on HBO Max. But there's also this that I wasn't expecting. Eddington, it started one way and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I started kind of half paying attention. Then it started taking these turns I wasn't expecting. And I was like, wait, what the fuck? It is crazy. Pedro Pascal is in it and Joaquin Phoenix. And I have to rewatch it because I kind of wasn't fully paying attention. And then I was reading some critiques on it and I was like, oh, I missed so much stuff. I have to rewatch it. I think that's
awesome. Is it a drama? What is it?
Yes, it's a drama, but it's a satire. It takes place during the first days of lockdown in Albuquerque or near Albuquerque.
Oh, wow.
Weird. And there's all, it's really good. And it kind of reveals kind of like how lockdown did everything that's wrong with America and all the fury and the racism and the isms that are right underneath the surface. That COVID COVID's just a virus. It was not intending to reveal all this shit. It's just a virus trying to survive, right? And by hopping from person to person, that's, you know, you gotta, it's got spunk, that COVID. It's got spirit. But
it's got spirit. How about you?
So I gotta rewatch Eddington and So those are my plans between now and tomorrow night.
I watched the new Knives Out movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I watched yesterday. My travel day was a little uneven yesterday just because it was 40 degrees in Milwaukee from Christmas Eve to yesterday, the 29th. And then the night of the 28th, it dropped 60 degrees and it froze everything. And so it was essentially an ice storm. It was sleet and ice. And so we had a 6 a.m. flight to get to San Francisco yesterday day. So we were going to go to dinner with friends. We were going to do these things. And we find out that we get to sleep in. And I was like, I don't even think I might not make it to do the shows with Proops New Year's Eve and tonight. And it turns out, I used a companion pass on Delta to get us to Milwaukee for Christmas. And then we were just going to come back. And then Proops asked me to feature for him at the Punch. And I was like, so I was going to abandon the second half of the companion pass, got new tickets to just fly to San Francisco. And so when they essentially delayed the flight, I was like, well, I should tell them that I'm not getting on that flight. So I call Delta and I was like, hey, I'm not getting on a flight. And the woman I talked to said, well, you know, because it was delayed, maybe you can get a full refund for your next day flight.
Oh.
And I was like, well, I would enjoy that. And she said, well, let me look into it. And she was like, oh, you'd have to fly back to Atlanta. And I don't recommend it because of this ice storm that's coming. And you'd have to go at like 5 p.m. And I was like, oh, no, I want to get there early. Well, it turned out I probably could have because we didn't end up leaving. We left Milwaukee at 1 p.m. And we flew through Detroit. We had to back up to Detroit. But she said, what I can do is, because this was partially our fault, refund you what would have been the cost of you flying back to LAX. So just half of the, so that was nice. So I have a credit now. And then, it was a really quick turn, everything delayed. So I didn't know that we would make the Detroit to San Francisco, but we did. They bumped us back to Maine instead of Delta Comfort. It was fine. But I watched, what did I watch? I watched Casablanca on the way out to Milwaukee, and I watched Sound of Music on the way to San Francisco. And in both of them, the Nazis are prevalent. So I thought that was an interesting that I went with what had more singing? Not that much more as time goes by. So, but the, Christmas was great. We stayed at the Pfister, the unfortunately named beautiful hotel, the Pfister. And we had
fortunately named.
Exactly. Anyway, so it was beautiful though. It was so, and we had a lovely time with the family. And then the day after, I think it was the day after Christmas, we took my dad to one of his favorite breakfast places.
Yeah.
And it's not good. It's not a good breakfast. I mean, they mean well. And they do an okay omelet, but don't get the French toast. They don't even soak it all the way through. Like, there's not, they don't leave it in the egg long enough. And so Andy ordered the French toast. And afterwards, he was like, that might be the worst French toast I've ever had. And I was like, well, you never had Nancy Cation's. Nancy Cation couldn't make French toast to save her life. But I mean, I don't like French toast, but.
I don't either. I don't like wet bread, you know? It's toast. I like it nice and firm and covered in butter.
Well, if they do it, turns out we both had terrible French toast in our lives because it's supposed to be crisp and completely crunchy. It's not supposed to be wet at all. Nancy Cation never really understood that either about pancakes. So there's all kinds of, I mean, I had not had a decent pancake till I went out in the world. Anyway, so we're today it's San Francisco. You got any good San Francisco? I mean, it's hard to ask you for restaurant suggestions, but what the heck?
Oh, no, go to the wharf. Go to, just go down Market Street till you get to the ferry building. Walk into the wharf. There's so many great restaurants in there. I love it. And you could probably see some sea lions if you go out, you go through the ferry thing to the actual wharf. It's great. Just go left on Market Street.
Towards
the water, towards the Bay Bridge.
Go towards the water. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a building called the Ferry Building, and that'll have a bunch of different foods.
It's gigantic. If you there's probably a different way to go from where you are, but that's because you're right at the Embarcadero. So you're right next to it.
Oh, I can see the punchline, which is good because I always get I don't have any sense of direction, much like my jazz problems. I get lost on numbered grid streets. I got nothing.
Yeah.
But luckily, I walked out looking for coffee and I was like, oh my gosh, that was right there. I just don't want to bring my merch up those stupid stairs that people poop on.
That's now you're stepping on my opener on my album. Jackie Tadich's. Now, they're probably packed for New Year's Eve. Tadich's Bar and Grill. Look it up, T-A-D-I-C-H. It's like over a 100-year-old restaurant. It's incredible. They have incredible food. The service is great. The waiters are all like in their 70s or 80s. They're Italian, I think.
How are you spelling Tadich's?
T-A-D-I-C-H. Tadich's Bar and Grill. It's walking distance from where you are.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm psyched. I know where the club is. I just have to find the elevator, which I think if I go into that Maritime building.
The other side of the street, diagonally across where the movie theater is. Go up, there's an escalator there, and then you could just walk across the bridge to the punchline.
Okay. That's what I'm going to figure out how to do. Essentially, do I go to the movie theater and walk across the bridge?
Yes, essentially, very essentially, yes.
Okay.
I hope this is helpful to all of our listeners who are undoubtedly going through this situation worldwide. I know we have Australians wondering how to get up the stairs to the punchline without taking stairs. Well, this is how you do it, gang.
2026, you guys, I'm going to take the stairs every time. Please do not hold me to that. do you have any resolutions? Do you ever do resolutions? I don't.
I don't do resolutions. I will say I barely got in here because they had expected 9 inches of snow the night I flew Christmas night. And they stopped flights. Like I took a red eye out Christmas night out of LAX and they stopped flights the next day. So I barely got here. But they did not get 9 inches. They got like 3 or 4, but it was still fucking gorgeous. Like, you know, the first day of snow is just pristine and beautiful. It was amazing. Lights every, it was like a magical New York City Christmas. Yeah. Zoran, Mom Donnie's going to be sworn in at midnight tomorrow night. That's exciting.
Okay.
Excited. Did you see this clip? I only bring this up because you had mentioned performing in cold. Taylor Williamson was in Calgary a couple days ago and he posted a clip. It was minus 40 degrees. He was on stage in down coat, mittens, a hat, and like mucklucks or whatever those booties are called that Canadians wear, and just shredding the crowd. He's like, I hate you. Why do you live here? It was so fucking funny.
It was really funny because the shot, I saw that clip. The audience was dressed like they were indoors.
I know. They were wearing shorts. Taylor was fucking freezing. He's like, I'm from San Diego.
Right. Taylor was wearing outdoor clothes. The entire audience was like, you know that there are walls and a heating system. But he was hilarious. So that was really...
They have second layers of skin. We all know this about Canadians. We'll talk about it. But they
Kale Simone is trolling the entirety of Threads and Blue Sky about Canadians not having pickles. And it is insane. Because so many Canadians are like, what are you talking about?
Hey, I had some pickled Korean, like carrots and other vegetables. I got some at the Food Town just down the way here. And my eyes were opened. Like, it was a lot of spice, but I was like, I think this is good for me. Like, I felt like it got my circulation going just to have a couple of these Korean pickled foods. Really delicious.
Yeah. And I fear for you because, of course, I think your taste buds were shot off in the Franco-American War by Chef Boyardee. Yes.
And so, I didn't hear you. What? Why do you fear for me?
Because your taste buds were shot off by the Franco-American War by Chef Boyardee.
Okay.
Guess what? We've done it. What? We've done the hour.
Bye.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows
supported
directly by you.